The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say immediately that it's going to rain. And so it does. And when you notice that the wind is blowing from the south, you say that it's going to be hot. And so it is. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not know how to interpret this present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? If you're to go with your opponent before a magistrate, make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Otherwise, your opponent will turn you over to the judge. The judge will hand you over to the constable, and the constable will throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not be released until you pay the last penny." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Now at the conceptual midpoint of our annual two-week liturgical lectio of our biennial, liturgical lectio of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which is his most developed and most eloquent of all his letters. It started a week ago Thursday, and over the course of this time, we have been pondering what we would say as the theological baselines, the real truths of who Jesus is and what he's doing in the world. And so we started that he has come to reconcile all things in himself, to sum everything up, to make us holy and immaculate in his sight. We could retrace the whole step, but it was all theology, who God is and what God is doing. Today we begin the rest of the letter, which we'll go through next Thursday, and it's all based on the moral consequences to who God is and what God is doing. So St. Paul, in this shift, says, "I, a prisoner for the Lord," he was writing this from a Roman jail, "urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, this call to be holy and immaculate in God's sight." And then he gives three virtues: with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Humility, if we're ever going to live in a manner worthy of our call, we have to open ourselves up to God's giving. If we think we're going to be able to do it on our own, with our own efforts, if we're putting ourselves up as if God's really depending on our own talents and efforts, full stop, we're never going to be able to live in a manner worthy of the calling. We're not capable of sanctity on our own. Everything is a gift, everything is a grace. So we need to be humble in order to let God do his thing. With all gentleness, the real word there is meekness, self-control, self-mastery. Somebody who's got nothing to prove. If we're not meek, we're not going to be able to have the self-discipline that's necessary to persevere in this calling. Third is patience. One of my favorite of all the Greek words that St. Paul uses over and over again. Makrothumia is the word. And makrothumia is the patience of the Romans sieging a city. If you want us to wait out 2 years, fine. 3 years, fine. We'll wait. We're just not going to give up. It might take us a long time, but please know that it's not going to end well for you. That's the way they sieged the ancient cities. Bakrothumi was used to it. We have to have that type of persevering endurance so that we aren't looking for quick results. But we've got the long-term scope there of what God Himself is doing. So, three virtues, all humility, gentleness, and patience, they're all meant to help us live in a manner worthy of that calling, to be saints without blemish. And then he starts to describe bearing with one another through love. So love is supposed to be the fundamental characteristic, but notice the verb that he says. Bearing. It's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy to love each other. It's going to be some suffering involved. It's going to be a lot of self-conquering to be able to do it. But that's the manner worthy of our calling. Tolerating others with great love. Striving in the whole rest of it, he focuses on communion. Remember the theology. Jesus come to reconcile all things to himself. And so striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So the Holy Spirit seeks to make us one. Seeks to keep us in peace with God and peace with each other. This tranquility of order. As you are also called to the one hope of your call, we've all got the same essential vocation to be holy and immaculate, to be in communion with the Lord forever. But that's supposed to bring us toward greater communion. One Lord. We're not worshiping many gods. We're worshiping the same one. What an incredible source of unity that is. One faith, not multiples. That's why schisms, that's why what's going on in Germany, for example, is such a big deal. One baptism. We've all come from the same ecclesial womb. One God. We're not worshiping many, but God brings us together. We're all sons and daughters of the same Lord. One Father of all, as we heard yesterday, from whom every paternity on earth gets its name. We truly are called to be brothers and sisters, one family, whose overall, he's omnipotent, through all, he's provident, and in all, he's omnipresent. He's with us at every moment. To live in a manner worthy of the calling we've received is to live in communion with the one who has come into the world to reconcile all things in himself and sent the Holy Spirit to give us all the help we need to live this way. The gospel is a call to conversion to get us to make the changes necessary with a certain urgency. Jesus uses this meteorological metaphor that if we see the clouds, we take an umbrella. If we look at the forecast and recognize that it's going to be between 60 and 69 degrees today, you're not wearing your beautiful sweaters. If we know how to examine the temperatures and the climate and make changes as a result, Jesus wants us to be just as prudent spiritually. How do we interpret the present time? The present time is a big pilgrimage on the way to meet the Lord Jesus. And this time of pilgrimage is meant to be one in which we're being reconciled to God and reconciled to others. That's why he says, reading the signs of the times, that if you're going with your opponent before a magistrate, reconcile before you get there, otherwise you could be thrown into jail and you never get out. You could lose the case. So now's the time for us to be seeking reconciliation with God and to be settling even with our adversaries, those who make themselves our enemies. Now is the time, because that's the manner worthy of the calling we've received. In order to be able to receive this and live it, we need to have a real childlike faith in the Lord. That's why the gospel verse was, "Blessed are you, Father, for if you revealed these mysteries of the kingdom to those who are little, those who have faith to be able to accept it. And Jesus wants us, with trust, to be able to live this way. Somebody who shows us how to do this is St. John of Capistrano, whom the church celebrates today. He was a real wunderkind in the late 1300s. He became mayor of Capistrano at the age of 26. Just curious, anybody of you 26 right now? No. Okay. Some are younger. Some are a little bit older. But it is kind of intimidating to be running everything at 26. But he did an incredible job. He loved being in charge. He did not have humility. He did not have meekness. And he didn't have patience. But he was successful nevertheless in worldly terms. But the Lord started to knock on the door of his heart. And he recognized he wasn't anywhere close to the type of man he should be. Though he was married, and though he had lots of temporal responsibilities, he knew that the Lord was calling him to a radical change of life. And so the most radical in the late 1300s, early 1400s, were the Franciscans. And so he wanted to become a Franciscan. I don't know quite how he settled the situation with his wife, but one day he got on a donkey. He faced the donkey's tail. And on his back, facing front, he appended a sheet listing all his sins, all the things that he needed forgiveness from God for, from the people of Capistrano for, and everybody else. And as he was heading in that direction, all the kids were pelting him with filth, mocking him for basically being a dunce. He got to the Franciscans. The Franciscans admitted him because he showed a sincerity in the desire to change. But because he had been mayor, because he needed humility, gentleness, and patience, they gave him, as his formator, the hardest of all the Franks. And he was brutal in formation. If you think Sister Mary Gabriel or Sister Grace Dominic was hard, thanks be to God you weren't there with John of Capistrano, because just the whole thing was the crucifixion of his will, so that it would be pliable to the will of the Lord. But it worked. And he came out the opposite side, humble, gentle, and patient. And reconciled with God, and reconciled with others. And he was then sent out as a great preacher, precisely to bring people together. He was sent to various of these Italian city-states. He was sent to whole countries to be able to bring them into communion. He was even able to unite Christendom against the Turks who were trying to come on in and destroy Christendom in Hungary. He was an incredible reconciler. He preached conversion. He was an example of conversion. And he spent his life trying to help people live in the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, and to reflect on the consequences of what it means to be one body, one spirit, with one vocation, one Lord, faith, baptism, God, and Father. We ask him to pray for us today, because the church and the world dramatically need Christians to live this communion, so that we can help everybody live as a family of the same Father. The great means by which Jesus brings about our living in a manner worthy of our holy and immaculate calling is here at Mass, where Jesus seeks to make us one. That as we receive the one body, the one Spirit is sent to make us, as we pray, one body, one Spirit in Christ whom we receive. Today, as Jesus wishes to do that, let's read the signs of the times. And if he shows up here to do that work, that must bring about a change in our whole life. Praise be Jesus Christ. Yeah.